Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin is mad about today.
I am? What am I mad about?
Essentially, I'm on the air between now and 11:30 tonight.
It is a lot of Steve Jones right now. It is a little more Steve Jones than I think even I can handle. And I like you a lot.
And imagine how I feel. I live in this body. Imagine how sick I am of me.
Yes, this would be not. This is not only all Steve Jones Thursday. This is never ending Steve Jones Thursday.
Ever. I'm on till 5. Then I'm back between 6:05 and 7. Then I'm back at 8:30 until 11:30.
And I understand you're doing a guest appearance on the DA show on CBS Sports Radio in the 7 o'clock hour just because you're available.
They called. So this is one interesting road today as to what we're doing. I mean, nobody's had this much airtime in the station since Lawrence.
Listen,
I was thinking about
yeah, the only time that anybody's been on this long probably goes back to the flood in 93 when we had people on the air for 7 hour spans.
Right. I thought about this morning. And this being what, as we go into our fifth year, you and I have probably now done about 1,000 shows together.
I never really thought, it's got to be. I mean, you do at least minimum of 300 a year together.
No, it'd be less than that.
It would be less. Well, that's right. I take vacation.
It would be. Well, yeah, you do.
Listen, your whole life is a vacation. Every baseball season, you're traveling all across the Northeast.
Oh, yeah. One great season. I'm in Batavia. Oh, yeah. If that just doesn't scream happy holidays, nothing does.
Love those trips to West Virginia.
Did three there last year. So, let's see. Okay, 52 weeks in a year, 5 days a week. So, the max you could do is 260.
You've already gone through my math abilities.
Well, the max you can do is 260 shows.
Okay.
All right. Now, I take a week's vacation every year. All right. So, that knocks off shows. So, now the max you could do in a year is 255. So, that would come out to 1,020. Obviously, we take holidays. So, let's see. We take holidays, but the number of holidays we take. Let's see. We always take Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day, right?
And Memorial Day, and Labor Day, yeah. Well, Thanksgiving,
Labor Day,
too,
Thanksgiving.
What was there six?
So there's one.
Well, no, Labor Day. Labor Day, the last days. We have done Labor
no,
Day.
We've done Labor Day. Yeah. So six in a year times 4 years is 24. But now we're a month past the time of the anniversary date of the show. There's another 20 shows. So we've done 1,000 shows now. At least I have. You've done, with your vacation time, you're at 721.
I've done slightly less. Which is why my name is not on the show.
With your vacation time added in, you're at 721, I'm at 1,000. Well, how about that? We've done slightly more than 1,000 shows on this station.
That's 2,000 hours of quality time spent together.
You're starting to depress the passengers. But how about that? You ever think of that?
No, I didn't. And no, and you just surpassed 1,000 basketball games?
Well, it took 34 years to do that.
That was a little bit longer span of time.
Okay, there you go. You're talking about 30-something games a year, so it takes a little longer to do that thing. Uh-oh. Moeller sent me a letter. This can't be good. But yeah, in 4 years, we've done over slightly more than 1,000 shows. How about that?
You know, if we were a high school basketball player, we'd be hung on a banner in the gymnasium.
Well, that's for 1,000 points.
Yeah.
If there's a high school player out there playing 1,000 games,
there might be an eligibility issue.
Okay. They're going to have some issues. Moeller sent me a letter. Penn State basketball coach Pat Chambers becomes enraged after Brandon Taylor was called for an offensive foul. Right? While arguing, Chambers had to be held back by two assistants, ejected, blah, blah, blah. We're trying not to be a brother. And the reason he sent it to me is that Dick and I are sitting in the background looking up at it.
Oh, that's right. You were on the floor for that because usually you're up in the upper levels.
Yeah, we were right behind the whole thing. So Tarman's looking up at him. I'm looking up at him. Dick's looking over at him. And meanwhile, Tom Eads, the official, is like, yeah, you're in charge, babe. Holy Moeller would cut that out and send that to me. In fact, I think I may frame it. there you go. Only Moeller would send us a letter like that. But how about that? 1,000 shows.
I don't think I've done anything for 1,000 in my entire life consistently.
No? No. Yeah, we've had a blast. We've had a blast. As I've said many times, you know, obviously doing games is that's my wheelhouse. That's what I love to do. I think anybody who listens to me do a game can tell there's a passion as to how I do the game. Okay, so let's take the network stuff out of it. Anything else I've done in broadcasting, I don't care, TV or radio, I've had more fun doing this show than anything I've ever done in local radio or local broadcasting. Anything, you know, obviously, take the, you know, the games are obviously number one. No offense to the world, but I think I'm not saying anything out of school here that that people didn't already realize. I'm a game person. You know, I want to do a football game. I want to do a basketball game. I don't care. It's my own. Baseball's baseball. I don't care what level it is. I love doing the Spice games. But outside of the game part, the game broadcast, I've had more fun, more enjoyment, more fulfillment doing this than anything else I've ever done professionally, this show. And the audience is a huge reason why. The station's a huge reason why. You're a huge reason why. Just really have enjoyed it. And I was just thinking about that this morning. I said, you know, it's about 250 shows a year, thereabouts. You know, you take a, because I mean, as you know, I don't take a lot of days off. So I'm probably at about, let's be safe here, 248 shows a year, maybe? Between a week's vacation and holidays, right? But then we've gone 4 weeks past when I started the show, so that's 20 shows, and we haven't missed any. I think we had like a half of one the other day. So that makes up for that. So we'd be like at 1,010 or something like that right now. It's amazing, isn't it? At least to me it is. Everybody else is sitting back saying, oh my goodness, don't you think we've suffered enough?
We've gone through this for 1,000 shows.
1,000 of this? Are you kidding me? Well, on this now, show number 1,011 or whatever it is.
Give or take.
Let's see. Give or take. I don't think it's in terms of like the take part. We're past it. I know we are. Because, again, we don't miss a lot of shows. We have not been preempted for anything. Remember that.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, we you know, now it's going to happen now with the Phillies now and again. We're going to get preempted for a Phillies game, or we may have a partial show based on a Phillies game like we did the other day. But because we had not been carrying the Phillies, we have not been preempted for anything. So with it, we've always done shows, and I only take a week's vacation a year. So, yeah, that number's probably pretty darn close. And today we're going to have Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and also from the Patriot News, join us. We're going to talk about Penn State recruiting. We're going to lock in on the juniors and the sophomores today. Nate Cobbler is going to join us to talk about the Big Ten Wrestling Championship. Tomorrow, Jeff Byers will join us from Iowa City on the Big Ten Wrestling Championship.
And there is absolutely nobody that can give you better insight on that than he can.
Right. And Nate's good, too. I mean, we'll have Nate on today talking about it. So we're going to go with Pickle and Cobbler today, then open lines. Then I'm going to take a break, and then we have one of the coaches on tonight. It's not going to be Pat, I don't think. And Mark Pavlik, the men's volleyball coach, is going to be on tonight. Then we're going to take an hour and a half off, and then Dick Girardi and I are going to kick into gear for a game at 8:30. We'll be with you until 11:30. And then I may just come back down here to the Sunbury Motor Studio and just stay on the air until 3.
Just to hang out for a few more hours.
Stay on the air until 3.
Well, listen, to do my part for the show, there is a new attire story. Not tire story, attire story in baseball. I knew you'd be excited about this.
And that story in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Show that loves to talk sports, and then there are Kevin's topics.
Well, they're sports related.
In this segment, Kevin talks fashion.
Well, we already heard that the Pirates were bringing.
This is being
back.
Sponsored by Louis Vuitton. Please,
Louis Vuitton. Nice. We just call him Lou. It is a him, right? I see. That's where I know about fashion.
Yes, it is.
Just checking. Yes. We already heard back in February the Pirates going back to the We Are Family unis from the '70s, which is the yellow jerseys, black pants. I love this look, by the way. I love the look in the 70s. I think it even looks good now. But they're also bringing back the hats. And I think that the pillbox-style hats are coming back. Although the Major League Baseball has not put the okay into the Stargell Stars. Remember how they used to give like helmet decals in football? Well, the Pirates used to do that with players on their hats, too. But there has not been any promise of that being coming back.
I recall, yes.
I think that's an awesome idea for the Pirates. That was a uniform that I think looks good now, just like it looked way ahead of its time in the late 70s.
Sure.
So if you're a Pirates fan and you have your old jersey from the 70s and it still fits, in my case, that's not even close to happening. But if it still fits, you're good to go.
Can imagine you sleek and fit.
You got to understand, though, the Pirates jersey that I had from the 70s, I was about 8 wearing it. So,
were you a Pirates fan as a kid?
Oh, yeah. My aunt and my cousin grew up in Pittsburgh.
I forgot. You've always been kind of a front runner.
I was a Pirates fan, because, and then all of my friends were Phillies fans, so I'd trade all my Phillies cards. They'd give me all their Pirates cards, and then I watched Mike Schmidt, and since that day, I was a third baseman in Little League. Since that day, I've been a Phillies fan. No, I've watched the Pirates. I've rooted for the Pirates, except when they play the Phillies.
Well, it's not that often.
Pirates game was the first game I ever saw in person at Three Rivers. Actually, it was the only game I ever saw at Three Rivers was a Pirates game.
Isn't it great when you walk in a ballpark the first time you see the green grass? Oh, that's right. No, you wouldn't.
it wasn't grass.
That's plastic. Yeah,
I remember walking into the vet, and it was camera day, and that was the time where they'd let you go on the field. And I remember walking on it, going, "Wow, this is really spongy." I mean, you could literally feel your feet sink into the turf. And my dad said, "Yeah, that's why nobody can get can go a season without a knee injury."
Oh, I'll tell you, I walked on the field at the vet before a Penn State Temple game. And the seams, I'm shocked they played the game. I'd gone to a Phillies-Mets game in the afternoon, and then I worked the Penn State-Temple game that night. And the seams on that thing, because I had to sew in all the bases and things like that, home plate, pitcher's mound.
Wow.
That was bad. That was bad. Now you look at Citizens Bank Park, beautiful grass. PNC Park, beautiful grass. It's great. Great stuff.
Then you have the opposite. Then you look at the Oakland Coliseum, Alameda County.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opposite. For half of the NFL season, there's 20 yards of field that is dirt before they put the grass in.
Yeah. I know. It's bad there. I know it is. It's just
bad. And there are some awful, awful seats for football in that stadium.
There are, and you know, the problem is this. I don't understand the territorial rights thing. You've got Oakland and San Francisco sitting across from each other. For goodness sakes, let them move to San Jose. San Jose wants to build them a ballpark. Let them. Hey, the NFL's going back to court on Deflategate. They've spent $20 million.
What? That's what happens when you have a money tree.
Hey, why? Just let it go. Get a group in the room. Take the $20 million to figure out what a catch is.
Now that I can agree with you on.
I've read the 243-page Ted Wells report. More probable than not, that thing's junk. But at least he interviewed all the witnesses. Nate Cobbler next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humblesworth as we go into our second 1,000 shows. You're taken aback by that.
I was surprised at that number.
Yeah. Let's go for the next 1,000. Nate Cobbler, Center Daily Times, beat writer for Penn State Wrestling in a few moments. Greg Pickle, next half hour from PennLive.com and the Patriot News on recruiting. Time now for This Day in Sports History. In 1875, the first recorded hockey game was played in Montreal. 1959, the Giants had their new stadium officially named Candlestick Park. What a disaster that place was. Beautiful area. Ever been to Candlestick?
I've never been to California, but I understand that the power's gone out there a few times.
Well, the point is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. The stadium, you're like, my goodness. You're like, what is this place? Then you go over to AT&T Park over by the Cove. Oh, my goodness.
Are they close to each other?
No.
Okay.
They really aren't. Nope.
One of them you can see the Bay Bridge from, can't you?
Yeah, that's
AT&T. Is that AT&T?
All right. Yeah. And meanwhile, Candlestick's out in the Point, and the wind just blows in there. Then you go over to AT&T, gorgeous park. And the McCovey Cove isn't as big as people realize, but still beautiful there.
All looked really good in there. San Andreas this past summer.
Sure, for a point of reference, yeah. 1968, Jean Béliveau, the great one from the Montreal Canadiens, became the second NHL player to score 1,000 career regular season points. 1974, George Foreman knocked out Ken Norton. 1992, it says here Mike Bossy's number two. It's probably, I think, number 22. Mike Bossy's number 22 was retired by the New York Islanders. There are very few right-wing sharpshooters better than Mike Bossy. 1998, I think this was a little late, but at least it happened. Larry Doby became the first, was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. He was the first black player in the American League. And he started, oh, I don't know, 6-7 weeks after Jackie Robinson, except he was going through the American League. Anything Jackie Robinson had to endure, Larry Doby also had to endure. Things weren't different because it was the American League. He was a good player, too. He was an all-star with the Indians. And in 2002, this is a great number here. The Dallas Stars set an NHL record with their 48th straight win when leading after two periods. The streak had started November 11, 2000. How about that? Feel pretty good. You're announcing the game. Stars are up 3-2. Put your feet up. Done. Gone. Over. All right. Kevin, you want to talk wrestling. You've been begging to talk wrestling the entire show.
No. I've been begging to talk to Kale about wrestling.
That's probably not going to happen today. All right, so let's bring in Nate Cobbler from the Saturday Times. Nate, welcome. Great to have you with us. Finally, some Penn State-Iowa stuff going to happen head-to-head here at some point at Carver-Hawkeye. For you, give me a couple of matchups that you're aching to see.
I would probably have to say, it's probably like a tie, to be honest with you.
Sure, that's fine.
I mean, I really want to see what Nick Nevels can do with Adam Kuhn and Kyle Snyder.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I really want to see Nico and Nathan Tomasello from Ohio State go at it again.
One more time. What about Martinez and Dolph one more time?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. How could you forget about that one?
Yeah. No, I'm just throwing it out there. I wasn't correcting you. I was just, you would think a guy with one loss would be not. I would guess that his preparation would be a little different than it was the first time he wrestled them.
You would have to be. I mean, like we've seen all year long, there really hasn't been able that's been able to keep up with the, the motor that Jason Knowles has. So, and that's exactly what happened with Martinez. He just basically got gassed, and you know that was the end of it. So, my guess is he's probably going to be a lot better condition for this match than he was for that one.
Right. The team race. Obviously, Penn State and Iowa did not wrestle one another during the regular season. It was Iowa's year, and it's been like this for a couple of years now, where they've rotated off the schedule, and it happens when you have 14 schools in a conference. So how anxious are you for the head-to-head matchups should Penn State and Iowa do go head-to-head? What's that going to tell you and mean to you?
I think really it would sort of validate the team that Penn State has. I mean, granted, yeah, they went undefeated all this year, and you know, they pretty much dominated everybody that they wrestled against. But, you know, Iowa was the only other undefeated team on the year up until when they lost to North Carolina State there in this coaches dual championship series. So, but what's more interesting is, you know, Iowa didn't have a single guy receive a top pre-seed. So, I mean, that's just, I mean, that's obviously the depth of the Big Ten, but I think just overall, I think it's going to be more than just Penn State and Iowa, because, I mean, when you come to the postseason, it brings out a different animal in people. And, I mean, you could see the likes of the Michigans and the Ohio States compete in there, too.
Took Nevels and he sent him out to Colorado Springs to wrestle three times, and he won all of them, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me an idea that the intelligence and the forethought of Cale Sanderson where he's playing chess with the lineup.
Well, you know, with Nick, they really wanted to get him more matches under his belt because, you know, yeah, he could have stayed here and he could have wrestled in that Oklahoma State duel, but, you know, he's only picking up one match there. Right. So, you know, he would have only had three on the year going into the postseason where, you know, yeah, you sent him out to this tournament in Colorado, which, you know, there's not a whole great ton of, you know, competition in that tournament, but, you know, he still got four more matches than what he would have going into the postseason here. Right. So, you know, he went undefeated. He told us he scored 49 points in all four matches. So just goes to show you he's one of those, he's a heavyweight looking to score points, not a heavyweight just trying to catch that one move.
These things, this one in Iowa City and the one at Madison Square Garden, are built in part on the ability to get bonus points. With that in mind, how equipped is Penn State, in your opinion, to get bonus points from multiple spots?
I mean, you've seen, yeah. I mean, anybody that followed the team enough all year long, they see that this team is capable of producing bonus points. I mean, when you got the likes of Zane Rutherford and Jason Knowles going back to back, who are capable of, you know, they're very well capable of major decisioning people without a problem. And then you're going to have, they're also very well capable of pinning people too. So the whole lineup is just really stacked with the ability to score bonus points. Not only with those two guys, but you got Bo Nickel there at 174. And I mean, Morgan McIntosh, he's been a quiet bonus point getter for him all year. So, I mean, it's up and down the lineup.
What is how is McCutcheon now? Is he 100%? Is he 90%? 95%?
When we got to see them all on Monday, he did not have a leg brace on. We got to talk to him. He said he was feeling good. He said, you know, his knee just got a little retweaked there in that Oklahoma State duel, but. You know, when you have 10 days off of no real competition, you know, you're just, you know, you're working on bettering your skills and, you know, honing in and getting those skills completely where you want them at this time of the year. You know, he was able to, you know, able to relax and it was rested up. And he says he feels good. He loves the fact that he doesn't have to be limited by the mobility of that brace being on his leg.
Nico Megalus has always been one of those really, really, really good wrestlers that's not quite been able to somehow get over that last hurdle. Did the Oklahoma State dual meet, what did that do for his confidence going in?
I mean, when you go in and you're wrestling a top five guy in the country like he was with Klamira there, and you go in and pin him, you know, that's got to have a lot of more confidence, add more confidence to you on top of what you already have throughout the year, you know. So to finish the, you know, what you could say would be the, you know, the regular season was already over, I guess, to start the postseason, I guess, if you want to consider that dual championship series the start of the postseason, to start it off with a pin in your final, you know, your final match at Penn State inside Rec Hall, you know, he when he got up from that match, he got up and was raising his arms and was pumping up the crowd. And it was one of those things where it was sort of unlike Nico, because he even told us, you know, he doesn't really like to show emotions, but it all sort of came to fruition there because he knew it was the last time in Rec Hall. So
I think in December, if we're having this conversation and the Big Ten championships are about to happen, we probably would be saying a lot of glowing things about Jimmy Gulabon. How much of a question mark, Nate, is Jimmy Gulabon in your mind heading into this? I mean, or how much mystery is there as to how far he can go in this thing?
There's really no mystery because, I mean, we all know what Jimmy's capable of doing. I think it's just more that thing where he has to have his mindset right. And when it comes to it, I mean, the match he wrestled against Oklahoma State was one of his better matches that he's wrestled in a while. I mean, he was in it there till the end, and he was, you know, he had a shot to win it, and it had just come up a little bit short. Had he had a little bit more time, I think he would have won that match. So I think it's not really a mystery. We know what he's capable of. It's just a matter of, okay, is the old Jimmy going to be there? And what I mean by old Jimmy is that mindset of, hey, I can compete with anybody in the country.
When you talk to him, what does he say to you?
You know, I actually really haven't talked to him a whole lot, okay. To be honest with you, because, you know, yeah, you want to try, you know, pick that person's brain, but he's more one of those kids that doesn't really like to say a whole lot either, too. So
right.
It's just one of those things where he's sort of in his own mindset, and he just goes about his business.
Is this essentially a three-team race in your mind?
Like I said, I think it's a four-team race. I mean, between Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Iowa. But, I mean, obviously,
that's right. Michigan did beat Ohio State. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's probably a 1A and a 1B with Penn State and Iowa. Then you got, you know, your 2A and 2B with Michigan and Ohio State. But, if I had to put them in order, I'd probably say Penn State, Iowa, Michigan and Ohio State, and that's not me being biased, and you know, because I cover Penn State, but it's just no team that's been compared.
I mean,
there's no team compared.
I think it's pretty realistic. I mean, I think it's actually the other way around. If I was talking to an Iowa reporter, hold on, I think they'll win several points. Like, okay, well, I know. The Olympic duels are going to be here at Iowa City coming up down the road here. But this is going to be in Iowa City for the Big Ten Championship. It's just their turn to host it. What Penn State doesn't care where they wrestle, but what can the venue potentially do for Iowa's wrestlers?
Well, I mean, you look at it this way. You know, if you're Iowa, you're sleeping in your own beds. You know, you're not in a hotel room, and you know where if you know you have to. You may have to sit in your hotel room for the night and, you know, just chill out until you have to get to the arena where, you know, like I said, these Iowa guys, they can sleep in their own beds at their dorms. And, you know, if they're close enough to the arena, they could walk there. You know, they wouldn't have to take a bus. So it's one of those things where, you know, home field advantage, you could say, could come into play. And then not to mention that, you know, I saw the seating chart they had laid out already. It, like, two-thirds of the arena is all picked for Iowa fans, and it's all in the center of the arena, and all the other Big Ten schools around the edges. So, yeah. You know, it's a great thing to, you know, go in and win one in your opponent's home arena, but at the same point, you know, you got to really contend with them a little bit more because they're going to have those fans backing them, and you know they're already used to wrestling there, so.
There's nothing like the smell of kettle corn every time you walk in there. I'm not kidding you. I kid you not. I mean, every time you walk in there.
I'll have to make note of that when I walk in there.
Well, you won't have to make note of it. You'll go, wow, Steve was right. It will take you seconds. It is unbelievable. It's a nice arena. You're going to like the arena. I don't know if you've never been there, right?
I've never been there, no.
You enter now. I don't know where. No, the press will enter at the bottom. But the fans enter at the top and filter down.
Okay.
And there is not a bad seat in the house. And, yeah, you talk about, on the two sidelines where the Iowa fans will be and then the others will be in the end zone. Even in the end zone, you're in good shape.
Okay.
So, yeah, you'll really like it. It's a great place to hold the event, and, you can pay homage to the Dan Gable statue up front.
Yeah, I'll be there, and I'll be tweeting the whole time, so it'll be interesting and fun to do. So,
give us your Twitter handle so people can follow you.
So it's at N Cobbler, C-O-B as in boy, L-E-R, C-D-T.
All right. So check that out, all you wrestling fans. Go with Jeff Byers' coverage as well. Nate, as always, a pleasure. Enjoy the trip.
to Cedar Rapids, and then your 20-mile jaunt down to Iowa City.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Steve.
Nate Cobbler, Center Daily Times. Yes, you do fly into Cedar Rapids, and it's about 20 to 25 miles down to Iowa City or Coralville. And, of course, if you're at the Coralville Marriott, there's no greater thrill than being there on caucus night watching Jeb Bush in the corner of the bar.
Wondering
what happened.
Is that next to the Steve Jones Ballroom?
No, you know, the funny thing was, Jeb Bush was there that night.
Right.
And we saw him. All right. All the players could talk about was that the entire cast of Duck Dynasty was also in the hotel. That's all they could talk. CNN was there and did all their live drops in the hotel the next morning. And they had the library there until noon. Jeb Bush was in the bar. We saw him. All right. And he was there for a while.
I'm sure he was.
But all the players could talk about, like, man, the whole cast of Duck Dynasty's here. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Bucknell tonight, Holy Cross, Soika, quarterfinals, Patriot. At, 7 o'clock tonight? Sound right?
Yeah, 6:30 airtime on Eagle 107.
And it'll be with Doug Birdsong tonight at Eagle 107. Nittany Lions and Northwestern tonight. 6 of the last 8 meetings between Penn State and Northwestern have been at Northwestern, including the last 4 meetings between the teams. Really?
Now that's a fun fact.
No, that's sad. You're in the same conference. You should not have a sequence where 6 of 8 meetings, including 4 in a row, are at one opponent. You're in a conference. That should never happen.
Whatever happened to play, you know, if you only play them once, this year it was at home, so next year it's going to be on the road. Whatever happened to that?
Last year baffled me because I thought they were just going to take last year's schedule and flip it, and they never did. They started over again. Thought, wow, that's bizarre. I mean, I realize that when you have a scheduling model, you're okay, and then you add Nebraska, so the model has to change. All right, so then you go along with your new model, and then you add Rutgers and Maryland, so the model has to change. I understand all that. But, you know, you're in the same conference. You should never play one team in your conference on the road 4 straight times. You shouldn't. You're at a conference. And 6 of the last 8 have been in Evanston. I don't know.
Love the 9 o'clock airtime, by the way, or the 9 o'clock television time. That's great. That's, thank you to ESPNU for that gift.
And I don't think the announcers are even here this time either. This will be the 3rd game.
Oh, they're doing it from Bristol?
No, Charlotte.
Charlotte. That's right. I remember you saying that now. You know, that's becoming more and more common. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't like it. Now, I do understand the volume of games that they're doing. They're not just doing 2 games a night. They're doing more than that because they have ESPN, ESPNU, ESPN2. So there's a lot of wealth that has to be spread around. I don't know how much money it saves. I know it's an experiment. They were doing 47 of these this year like this, 47 games. Well, Penn State's happened to them twice, and I'm guessing... When I went to practice last night, there was no TV truck out there. Now, it doesn't mean it didn't pull in today, but my guess is, because it's the same guys who worked the Nebraska game, the very talented Adam Amin, who's done this show before, and Michelle Obama's brother, Craig Robinson, I'm going to guess they're not going to be here tonight either.